The Gemara, the first wide line of Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, opens the discussion for the first time of power of a food in fleshic equipment. A question of dairy equipment food or fleshic equipment food. Let's put it into context. The Mishnayos in the 7th parak and 8th parak of Chulin and Sarivav and Kufches and elsewhere in Shas talk about the idea of Tam Keker, as we've been discussing. They talk about the idea of one food absorbing flavor from another food. One food can be maflet into the other. The other food is bolea from the first. Either cooked together, the Mishnayos talk about. We had Tosefta talks about they're salted together. So we have food-to-food transmission. The earlier on Kufi Alpha and Beis, the Gemara already quoted a Tosefta about food to kli transmission. Kedera, and then the end of the narrow lines, Kedera shebishel ba'basar lo yivashel ba'chav. Ve'im bishel b'no sentam. And you have a pot that had been used for, you cooked fleshik in this pot, you may not subsequently cook milchiks in the pot. Even though it's not direct food-to-food transmission, the Tosefta says there's such a thing as food to kli transmission, and then subsequently you'll have kli to a second food. So that's an issue. But again, the Tosefta talks about two steps. The fleishik, I cook milchiks and a fleishik kli, that's a two-step process. From the salami to the pan, and then from the pan to the cheese. So that's usher to do, and you usher to even eat the results. I should mention, this did is more in Masachas Avodah Zarah, but it's very important to Halacha L'maisa, that as soon as you enter the world of food to kli transmission, we generally, with the exception of Davar Harif, have the limitation of nosein tam lefgam. That flavor, when the this step number two, when the flavor comes out of the pot of the pan into the second food, it can only make the food treif if A, it's benosein tam, it's not batel, and B, it's not a nosein tam lefgam. The flavor is being added is a net positive, a net gain, not a net loss. If the flavor coming out of the pan to the second food is making the second food taste worse, not absolutely rotten, but worse than it was before, if it's no Saint Tom, lif gam, if it's being pogame, if it's making it worse, then it does not make the second food usser. The most common example of that is if the kli is an eno ben yomo. If more than 24 hours elapse, that's how we paskin, how to define eno ben yomo. If more than 24 hours elapse between the two stages, and the food first food gives its flavor into the kli, and then you wait at least 24 hours, and then you use the kli for the second food. So we assume that over the course of the flavor, the absorbed flavor, the tam balua, it sits in the walls of the kli for at least 24 hours, it gets a metallic or taste, or it gets a earthy taste of the kli. The flavor sits and it degrades in the kli. So after 24 hours of the tam balua sitting in the defanos ha-kli, in the walls of the kli, it's any flavor that will emerge in the second food will be in tam lefagam. And therefore, let's just clarify halacha l'maisa, it's still forbidden midirabanan to use the eino ben yomo kli. In other words, it is a forbidden act. There's an iser maisa midrabanan. You're not allowed to use the eino ben yomo fleishik pot with milchiks. If you did so, you did an avera. It was a maisa. It was an iser hishtamshus. However, since even though it was forbidden to use that eino ben yomo fleishik pot for milchiks, you did wrong. But lamaisa, once it's done, whether you did it b'shogeg, b'mezid, what have you, but once it's done, it doesn't impact the second food. The tam lefgam won't change the status of the second food. Once the flavor sits for 24 hours, it becomes an eino ben yomo, it's no longer a live tam. Like, you know, it says on the some packages of yogurt, live and active, contains live and active cultures. So if once a tam habalua sits in a kli for more than 24 hours, it's no longer a live and active tam. There's still iser lechatchil and iser maisa. You're not allowed to use a treifa pot with kosher food. You're not allowed to use the milchik pot with fleishik food or the fleishik pot with milchik food. That remains, the Iser Shtamshus remains even after 24 hours, but it won't have any impact on the second food. The second food will remain kosher, or remain milchik, or remain parv, as the case may be. The Eino Ben Yomo flavor cannot change the status of the food that it lands in, the second food. That's a very important din. That's, again, as soon as you get into the world of flavor going into kelim, you need to talk, which is Simon Sadi Gimel, you need to talk about the din of Eino Ben Yomo. And again, this distinction that when it's in Eino Ben Yomo, when the flavor is more than 24 hours old, the Iser Hishtamshus, the Iser to use the pot, remains, Midrabanan, but the impact that the Tom could have on the second food that it lands in is no longer. No impact after 24 hours. The one big exception is Davar Charif. As we discussed, Davar Charif is an exception to many rules. And one of the rules that's an exception to is if an Eino Ben Yomo flavor lands in a Davar Charif, that flavor does count. So if I cut an onion with an Eino Ben Yomo fleishik knife, the last time I used this knife for fleishiks was a week ago, and I cut an onion with that knife, and the knife is clean, the onion still becomes fleishik, even though it's an Eino Ben Yomo, but Davar Charif outweighs Eino Ben Yomo. Or if I fry onions in a... I cut the onions on a power of a plate with a power of a knife, but then I toss them to saute in a milchik pan. I haven't used this milchik pan for milchiks in a week. I'm doing this on Erev Shabbos. The last time I made eggs and cheese in the pan was on Sunday. Any milchik or flavor to Eino Ben Yomo. So if I saute tomatoes in the pan, the tomatoes would stay parv. If I saute onions in the pan, the onions become milchik. Because Davar Charif can even reawaken the dormant Eino Ben Yomo flavor. Okay, so that's Siman Tzadi Gimel in a nutshell, the idea of kelim, the fact that we recognize food to kli transmission as well. And that was, again, that bright all comes from that Tosafta that the Gemara quotes near the end of the narrow lines of Kufi Aleph and Beis, Kedero Shebisha Babasar Lo Yivashal B'Chalav. Number one, it's forbidden to use a fleishik pot for milchiks, and number two, in Bisha Beno Saint Tom. Not only is it usher to do it, but it can even create an isser on the Heftza. It can actually impact the milchiks, assuming that the fleishik pot is the Ben Yomo, and there's enough there that it's not batel b'shishim, then it will actually succeed in giving flavor to the milchiks and make it treif. The Gemara now in the first white line says, how about if we take it another step? How about if you have three steps of transmission? What's three steps? Food to kli, kli to food, but we're not done yet. Because let's say if we deal with milchus and fleishiks, so let's say a food to kli, fleishiks into the kli, and then from the kli, not into milchiks, where it makes the milchiks treif, but into power of a food. I cook power of a food in what was a fleishik kli. So is the power of a food, it's definitely not treif, but maybe it's fleishik, or is it parv? And again, we don't really care. I have fish, so what does it matter whether the fish is fleishik or parv? Well, it matters if later on I'm going to want to eat it with cheese. So that's why this is the third step removed. The cheese is only going to hit the fish long after the fish is out of the pan. Of course I can't, if I have fish in a fleishik pan, I have fish on a fleishik grill. Of course, I can't sprinkle cheese on it, b'shas maisa. That, of course, is a problem. It's all happening at the same time. Right? Just like we said, the Taz writes, based on the Shulchan Aruch and the Ran, that if you stick a fleishik ladle into a milchik pot, even if the food is parv, that's a problem, because everything is present at the same time. But napa, your classic napa not is after I take the fish out of the pan, out of the fleishik pan, I put it on a part of a plate, and then I want to sprinkle some cheese on. Or I have Oreo cookies that were made in a milchik equipment in the factory, but I'm not sticking any fleishiks in the milchik equipment. The cookies were taken off the milk equipment and packaged and shipped to the store and from there to your house, and you take out these cookies, which were made on milk equipment, but long have since left the milk equipment, and you want to eat the cookies with fleishik. That's an interesting taste, okay? Or you want to eat the cookies after fleishik, right? So that's the question of not barnat. Dogim sha'alu b'ka'ara. The fish that came out of the pan, that had been in the pan, in the flesh of the pan, can I eat them with a milchik sauce, with a yogurt sauce? Can I eat them with kutach? Or maybe we would say, can I sprinkle the cheese, the fish with cheese? I have pasta that I made in a fleishik pot. Can I eat? I'm not going to sprinkle cheese in the fleishik pot, but I'll take the pasta out of the pot and I'll drain it. And now the pasta is on my plate and I'm going to sprinkle it with Parmesan or with the shredded mozzarella, whatever you prefer. Right? Is that mozzarella? Is that us? Or is that a problem? Is that not a problem? I'm going to take that pasta and throw it into the milchik toaster oven with American cheese. Is that a problem? Is the power of a food made in dairy equipment or fleish equipment milchik or fleishik, or is it parv? So the Gemara had presented this as a machlokas amorim. Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, whether or not you're allowed to eat this fish with milchik sauce, with kutach. Rav said aser, Shmuel said mutter. The Gemara goes back and forth about this, and the Gemara comes to a conclusion that we paskin like Shmuel. The dagum shal bekaira is mutter la'achlan bekutach. So how could that be? How could that be? How could that be? They say, "What do you mean? What's the problem?" That's a din. Mutter achlan bekutach. Yeah. The problem though. The problem though. There are two issues we got into here. One was that you open a Shulchan Aruch, and the Ramah does not seem to say this. You open a Shulchan Aruch, Simit Sarihei, and the Ramah says, well, I mean, the Shulchan Aruch paskins as we expect him to paskin. Right? We Machlok is Rav and Shmuel, we paskin like Shmuel. So the Shulchan Aruch says, that's how Sfardim practice, that if you have pasta was made in fleishik pot, you cook the pasta in a clean fleishik pot, Gesunte, put the pasta on a plate and sprinkle on cheese and enjoy. That's what Shmuel said. And the Ramah says, well, maybe not. What do you mean, maybe not? The Gemara, Machlok's not Maram, but there was a clear Hilchasa. So what do you mean, maybe not? So the Ramah says, well, we treat it as sort of milchik, or sort of fleishik. Where is this coming from? Where this is coming from is the following. Tosis, a long Tosis here that has a Machlokas between Rashi's son-in-law, the Rivan, versus the later Balei HaTosos. The Rivan quoted a name of his father-in-law Rashi, that a diuk in the language of the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Dagum sha'olu b'ka'ara," fish that were. What do you mean, olu? They rose in a pan. They rose in a plate. What type of verb is that? Olu b'ka'ara. They were served. They ka'alah. I had earlier the pack. They were served on a plate. Why served? How about nisbah? We've always been using the word bishul. Kederish bishul b'chalav. What happened to the dagum shenisbashlu? Why alu? So the Rivan quotes from his father, Larashi, that if it's nisbashlu, the din doesn't apply. The whole kula of naparnat is only when you have hot fish that you put into a cold plate. But if you talk about hot fish, hot plate, meaning if I actually fry the fish in the fleishik pan, I grill the fish on the fleishik grill, even if the grill were to be clean, which is with grills very difficult, or I cook the fish in a fleishik pot, the Rivan says Shmuel never was matter that. Rivan claims the whole machlokas amram is only case of alu but not nizbashlu. So yeah, if I had hot fish from a par of a pan, and then I put it the hot fish onto a milchik plate, the fish remains par. I put the hot fish onto a fleishik plate, the fish remains par. That's the approach of the Rivan. And Rabbeinu Tam, other Balei HaTosos reject, many of the other Balei HaTosos reject this major chumrah of the Rivan. They say, no, it's not true. Again, we saw Tosos a lot of back and forth about this, Rais Lakan or Lakan. That's a Tosos that stretches Dimas L'Hilchasa, from Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Beis onto Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph. That's the primary topic, not the only topic, but the primary topic of that Tosis. So what's going on in the Ramah is Ramah wants the Machmir for the Rivan somewhat. So that's why the Rama says, well, we would avoid this, but with the Rama presents five kulos. So number one, he says, some of them are general, right? So he says, some of the general, some of them are specific. So let's start. He says, number one, even the Rivan is Mekon Alu. He says, if you have hot power of a food that you put on, hot pasta from the power of a pot that you put onto a fleshic plate, that everyone agrees. Yeah, that's the Rivan, says the Gemara is saying. Right? I put into a flesha, hot food into a flesha container, it definitely stays parv. Okay, that's number one. That's number one. Number two is he says, we're machmer for the Rivan, the Chatchila. As Mikra didn't we really hold like a Beyotam. So if we can, we try to follow the Rivan. You have this pasta that was cooked in the fleshic pot, so don't put cheese on it. But if you did put cheese on it, we're not going to tell you to throw the pasta out. Mikra din, we hold like a Beyotam, the pasta is parf. Okay. So number one, alu is totally mutter. Number two, we wouldn't, is only a chumra lechatchil napidyevet. Once you actually mix the cheese in, we would not advise you to throw the food out. Number three, it's not that milchik or fleshik, let's say. I have the pasta that was in the fleshik, but that was cooked in the fleshik pot. Even lechatchila, the Rama says, we don't consider it fully fleshik, we consider it mildly fleshik. Vos haste mildly fleshik. So it means you cannot eat it with cheese, but you can eat cheese after it. Right? Or conversely, if you have food that was dairy equipment cooked in a milchik pot, you wouldn't eat it with meat, but you can eat it after meat. You don't have to wait 6 hours before eating dairy equipment food. So that's kula number three. Again, kula number one is alu is mutter, even the Rivan is maskim to that. Number two is only machmer for the Rivan lechatchila not bidyeved. So once you mix the cheese into the fleshik equipment pasta, go ahead and eat it, enjoy, don't throw it out. Number three is it's even a case of nizbashlu, we only treat it as mildly fleshik, but not to the point of having to wait. Number four, we treat it as mildly fleshik that you can't actually put the cheese on the fleshik pot pasta, but you are allowed to put the fleshik pot pasta onto a milchik plate or into a milchik container. And finally, kula number five is an application of a general rule. Rama says his whole idea be macham lechatchila, that food made in a fleshik pot is mildly fleshik, the power of a food made in a milchik pot is mildly milchik, they were machmer for that lechatchila. That's only if that fleshik or milchik pot was a ben yomo. Yeah, if I use this pot, if I have a chicken soup pot, and last night we made chicken soup, and we cleaned it out after supper, and then this morning I wanted to make pasta, I said, oh, here's my biggest pot. I take the fleshik or soup pot, and I made pasta, made spaghetti in the fleshik pot for lunch. That's less than 24 hours ago. And I was using this pot last night that was still full of fleshiks at 9 p.m. And now at 11 a.m., I'm making parva pasta in a clean fleshik pot. So then the Rama says, okay, according to we're machmer for the Rivan lechatchila. We say, you made pasta in that pot, don't sprinkle cheese on it. That's because that was a ben yomo. The fleshik of flavor was less than 24 hours old. But if I didn't have soup, that chicken soup last night, if the last time I used this pot for chicken soup was for Shabbos Kodesh, Matzah Shabbos, I cleaned it out. And now it's Thursday. And now, on Thursday, I use that fleshika chicken soup pot, but clean, for pasta. That's an enu ben yomo. The last time it was bolea, chicken soup, was more than 24 hours ago. Zerin Rama says, it's always the case. That's not just not by not, as we said before. Let's end where we began. Let's end this piece where we began, and then one last element as well. This fifth kula of the Rama takes us back to even if you made milchiks in this fleshik pan. I have a pan that I had used for I had a big pan that I used for challahs. And then 3 days later, I cleaned it out. 3 days later, I make cheesy lasagna in it. It's aveira to do that. But the lasagna stays kosher because the fleishik flavor is ein ben yomo, and the lasagna is not a davar harf. So all the more so, the Rambam says, if I just made not cheesy lasagna, plain spaghetti in an ein ben yomo fleishik pot, that spaghetti is, of course, that totally par. The ein ben yomo fleishik flavor does not impact the spaghetti, does not change the spaghetti. It remains thoroughly parv. So let's recap and then add one more element. Let's recap with what we've seen so far. The Gemara in the middle of Kuf Yud Aleph and Beis quotes the Tosefta in the 8th parak of Masachas Trumos that we halacha recognizes the validity and significance of food to kli and kli to food transmission. So if you have a fleishik pot, and that fleishik pot is giving off flavor called that no sin tam. That's a tam rishon. Giving off flavor into milchik food. You're cooking milchik food in a fleishik pot. That's clearly a problem. Lechatchila is a problem. B'dyeved meaning the food became treif. It will actually impact the food permanently. That's tam rishon. That's no sin tam. What we're talking about here, on the bottom of Kuf Yud Aleph Beis, is not bar not. No sin tam bar no sin tam. The tam sheni. Because instead of cooking milchik food in the fleishik pot, I cook parva food in the fleishik pot. What's the status of that? So that's already, that's no longer explicit in Tanaim. And the Amoraim disagree about the status of not bar not. Machlok is Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara clearly says that we pass on like Shmuel that not bar not is mutter. However, although everything sounds so glorious and rosy, this heter of not bar not has potentially up to two limitations. The first limitation is what we've been talking about for the last few minutes, and that is the limitation that the Rivan presents B'Shem Rashi. His nephew, Rav Tam, disagreed and said, no, it's not true. Rashi didn't say that. The Zayd never said that. But the Rivan held that the whole din of not bar not is limited to not only it's one step removed, but that the transmission was merely alu rather than nisbashlu. But if it was actually cooked in the fleishik pot, then there'll be a full dose of fleishik flavor in the formerly power of a pasta, and the erstwhile power of a pasta, according to Rivan, is now fleishik. Halacha lemaisa, we said machlokas Ashkenazim and Sfardim what to do. Sfardim Shulchan Aruch follows the Rov Rishonim against the Rivan. They say no, nisbashlu is also included not bar not, and therefore, you know, pasta made in a fleishik pot is totally, absolutely parav. The Ramah says we are somewhat machmer for the Rivan. The Rivan himself would say that pasta cooked in a fleishik pot, assuming that it's a ben yom fleishik pot, is totally fleishik. Ramah says we don't accept the Rivan fully. We don't say it's totally fleishik, but we accept him somewhat. Somewhat meaning we would lechatchila we treat it as fleishik. Until the cheese gets in, we would say don't put the cheese in. And that's, of course, only if the pasta was actually cooked in the fleishik pot and the fleishik pot was a ben yomo. If you cooked, not just alu, but cooked pasta in a ben yomo fleishik pot, so then we would say you are allowed to take that, even the Ashkenazim would take that pasta without cheese and put it in a milchik plate or a milchik container, that's fine. And we would not have to wait, you know, 6 hours for milchiks after eating that pasta, even for Ashkenazim. But we would say, do not sprinkle cheese on it. You should eat it without cheese. If you did put cheese on it, you have the right to eat it as is. But lechatchila, you should eat it without cheese. So those are the five, the chumra with five sub-kulas of the Ramah. Again, that's because Ramah accepts Rivan only somewhat. We're machmer, Be'ikar, I didn't even ask. That was the whole like Rav Tam, but we're machmer for Rivan somewhat. The other issue that came up was an issue that already had, the Gemara had formulated in the previous piece of Gemara, and that is Hetera Bala versus Isura Bala. And as we saw, Tosus, the end of this long Tosus already raises this issue. The Ran is even clearer about it, that this, the second limitation in the world of not bar not, and this is a limitation that even the Shulchan Aruch accepts, is that the whole kula of not bar not is only when you deal with milchus and fleshiks in tapar, not when you're dealing with treif into kosher. If I have a treif of pan, meaning that we had cooked treif of food in the pan, we had fried treif of food in the pan, we had fried bacon, ham in this pan, ham and eggs. We made ham and eggs. So let's say, again, let's say I fried ham and eggs in a pan. So now the pan is treif. The pan was boleya through heat, right? The pan was boleya, the flavor of ham. Ham is behemoth, is a lava behemoth tomato. So if I subsequently clean out the pan and scrub it down, and toch chavdal shows within 24 hours, while still a ben yomo, I make plain eggs, or kosher salami and eggs, in the pan, it doesn't stay kosher. The salami was kosher, the eggs were kosher. Once they get fried in that pan, obviously the flavor of the flavor of ham that's balua in the pan emerges into the food. Okay, so that food is forbidden to eat. How about if I can't eat the salami and eggs. Okay, how about if I took the salami and eggs, I didn't know there was treif, I took the salami and eggs out of the fridge, and I wanted to rewarm them. So I put them into a bowl, and I microwave it, or I put it into a pan, a different pan, a kosher, erstwhile kosher pan, and I heat it on the stovetop. And they say, 1 second, that's the treif of salami and eggs. I say, what's so treif about the salami and eggs? It's beef salami. It's kosher beef salami. They say, yeah, but it had been fried in a fleshic pan. Ah, so now what? So, of course, the salami and eggs I'm going to throw in the garbage. How about the second pan? Is the second pan also treif? And let's say I didn't kosher the second pan, and I made a third round of eggs. Now just plain, let's just keep it simple. I forget about eggs. Too many eggs here. So much cholesterol. I made ratatouille. I sauteed onions and tomato and zucchini in the second pan. That's many steps removed, right? The flavor went from the ham into the first pan, and then from the first pan into the salami and eggs. And then from the salami and eggs into the second pan, and from the second pan into the vegetables, the ratatouille. So that's way more than a not bar not. That's a tam shlishi, at least. Says the Ran, treif. The ratatouille is treif. Again, you have to make sure at every point, maybe there was a bitl b'shishim you have to cheshbin, and each of the pans you have to make sure, you have to see, was it any ben yomo or any ben yomo. But in principle, if you don't have bitzel b'shishim and you don't have any ben yomo, the ratatouille is treif. It's so many steps removed. How about the sugi of not bar not? So the Ran says, yeah, but the whole sugi of not bar not is only, we're talking about fleshiks versus parv, milchik versus parv, not treif versus kosher. What's the difference? Well, the Gemara earlier had mentioned the idea of hetera bala versus isura bala. Was it boleya? Was it absorbing a treif of flavor, or was it absorbing a kosher flavor that later becomes treif? What's the Gemara had rejected it earlier in a different context, but the Ran says that is relevant here. Why? In other words, if I have power of a food that's boleya flavor from the fleshic pan, that food remains power of. But if I have power of a kosher food that's boleya flavor of ham from the treif of pan, that is a problem. Why? If there's no flavor, there's no flavor. So the Ran says, pshat not bar not isn't that not bar not has no flavor whatsoever. If that were to be the case, then the case of the ham would also be fine. What's going on is that there's a weaker flavor. It's a tam kolosh. Kuf lamed vav shin. It was weakened. Obviously, it's reduced. It's not totally eliminated, but it's reduced. So how do you deal with that? What's the significance of being reduced? So the Ran suggests, again, as I said, Tosis already says this, but the Ran expands on this more, that the status of a reduced, a weakened flavor, a tam kolosh, is that if it was already treif and then it got reduced, it got weakened, it'll stay treif. But you cannot create a new iser using an already weakened flavor. Tam kolosh, it's enough to maintain previous status, but you can't create something new with something so shvach, with something so weak, with something so kolosh. So if I have ham, so the actual piece of ham was treif. That was already, there was already an iser on the ham, an iser of behemoth tmeya. So even though the flavor goes from the ham to the pan number one, into the salami and eggs, into pan number two, into the vegetable ratatouille, the iser already existed meirosh when it was a chunk of ham. So even though the tam is becoming increasingly kolosh, increasingly weakened, it can still maintain its status of behemoth tmeya. Or, for that matter, if I, Rachman al-Tzlan, cooked basar and chalav together in a pot or a pan, that became mamash hachefetz basar b'chalav. So that goes into the pan, then into the next food, and then to the next pan, and the next food. It already became treif as a real piece of basar b'chalav. So that's Yisura Bala. But here, the original food wasn't treif. It was neither behemah tameah nor basar b'chalav. It was just basar. Fleishik, but not treif. There was no chal shem iser yet. So then what happened? So then the fleishik goes into the pan. If the fleishik would emerge from the pan directly into milchik food, boom. At that point, it's still strong enough to create an iser. But if what you cook, the second food you cook in the fleishik pan is pariv, so the fleishik flavor lands in the pariv food, and it landed. And it hasn't yet become treif. It's just fleishik. But there's no milchiks around yet when it lands. So at this point, once it lands, it's a tam kolosh. And once it lands, it's a tam kolosh. We're no longer dealing with the flavor of the pan. Now we're merely dealing with the flavor of the spaghetti. The flavor of the pan is strong. That's a tam rishon. But the flavor in the spaghetti is two steps removed from the original piece of meat. That's a tam sheni, second degree. That's a tam kolosh. You cannot create basar b'chalav with a tam kolosh. So if you're going to add cheese subsequently to the pasta, to the naprana pasta, that's not going to create a new iser of basar b'chalav. And let's just use this idea to wrap everything around. This notion that the naprana is based on when we aren't saying that Napranat has zero tam, that the spaghetti, the tam sheni, has zero tam basar. We're saying that the spaghetti, the tam sheni, the Napranat has weakened tam basar. So that's why, number one, Napranat di Isura is asar. If it's a Napranat of a treif, then that will be asar. Number two, as we said before, and this is a Tosafot quote from Beit Baruch, and that's what we spoke about the Taz, if I have the two things simultaneously, I have a pot of pasta in a fleishik pot, and I stick in a milchika spoon into the pot, so that's, they're all the time and we're there at the same time, and the tam rishon of milchik spoon, the tam rishon of the fleishik pot, they're together, that is a problem. And the shita of the Rivan is an application of this idea as well. In other words, apparently he's saying he took the idea of tam kolosh and took it a step further. The whole kula, the whole heter of naparnat is based on the fact that tam is kolosh. And he says the tam is really only niklash if it was merely alu. If it was actually cooked and there was full transmission of the flavor, it's not kolosh enough for the kula of naparnat to apply. The other rishonim disagree. Beyon Tam disagrees, the Machaber disagrees, and even the Ramah, when he's pushed against the wall, will also disagree with the Rivan. His Machaber Rivan lechatchila, but Mekel b'diavad, that no, that even if it's Nizbashel, just the fact that two steps removed already makes it Kalish. But the Rivan held it's only Kalish if it's not only two steps removed, but also merely Alu, rather than Nizbashlu. There are another application that Ron has in the world of Kashering, to this idea of Tom Kolish as well. But that is the heart of the sugya of Not by Not. Chevra, thank you so much. Mitzvah Shem on Sunday. Mitzvah Shem on Sunday, we can chazer Dav Charef.